Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Alaska state troopers have arrested a suspect in the homicide of 13-year-old Mackenzie Howard of Cake. This weekend, an unnamed 14-year-old boy, also from Cake, was taken into custody and transferred to a juvenile justice center in Ketchikan. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein has more.
Lieutenant Rex Leith is the Alaska Bureau of Investigation supervisor on the case. He says they arrested the teenage suspect around 11 Saturday morning after 10 days of collecting evidence and interviews.
We conducted quite a few interviews in the community and also at the scene of the crime found some key pieces of evidence that had different kinds of biological evidence on them. And also when we communicated with the community and identified who we thought could be one of our suspects, we went and contacted that suspect and did end up serving some search warrants at the suspect's residence and acquired more pieces of evidence.
Investigators provided that evidence to the state crime laboratory. Leith says the lab's work and additional information from interviews ultimately led troopers to take the boy into custody. The arrest comes 10 days after a community member found 13-year-old Mackenzie Howard's body in an entryway to Cake Memorial Presbyterian Church late at night on February 5th. Leith says the suspect was compliant and troopers were able to interview him. Leith would not say whether the boy admitted to the crime, but the Bureau is confident he acted alone.
I can tell you that based on the information we collected, as well as the interview, we have what we believe is confirmation that we have the right suspect.
You don't believe anyone else was involved?
No, we do not.
Authorities have not made public the actual cause of Mackenzie Howard's death, but they have treated the case as a homicide from the beginning. The state medical examiner later confirmed it was homicide after an autopsy. State troopers from Juneau and Ketchikan, as well as investigators and crime scene technicians from Anchorage and other communities, went to Cake to work on the case. Because the suspect is a minor, Leith said he could not release his name or the specific charges that are pending against him.
All I can really say is that we have a homicide. And we have one person we believe is responsible for that in our custody now. And so in the adult world, we would assume if someone did that, whether it was accidentally or intentionally, there'd be obviously corresponding crimes we would list there. With a juvenile, while the same elements are there of a crime, it's a little different because a juvenile is goes before a judge and is considered for delinquency, not necessarily the crime that an adult would have been charged with. So it's a little different. Same seriousness, same consideration as far as the state goes, but we can't really put a label on it per se.
Leith says it will be up to the Division of Juvenile Justice to decide whether the charges against the suspect are made public. The boy was being transported to a juvenile justice holding facility and was expected to go before a judge in Ketchikan over the weekend. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Sitka's Blue Lake Dam expansion is one of the biggest public works projects in city history, and it went over budget to the tune of nearly $40 million the day construction bids were opened last summer. In any other legislative session, Sitka might have looked to a powerful local senator and a state surplus to make up the difference, but Bert Stedman lost the chairmanship of the Finance Committee, and the governor decided that this is the year to cut the state's spending on public works projects by more than a third. Observers are not optimistic that big-ticket items will be funded. Still, Sitka officials walked the hallways in Juneau this week, figured they might as well try. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Just after 9 a.m., Sitka Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett walks up to the Alaska Capitol.
I feel like I'm heading to a funeral. It's all in black, that is.
That's not a predictor for the day.
Oh, no. My gosh, no. Are you kidding me? I'm way too optimistic for that.
Hackett is wearing a business suit, less common on the streets of Sitka than it is in Juneau, and hoping to put the city's best foot forward. She's with Mayor Mim McConnell, Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley, and Government Relations Director Marlene Campbell.
Wow.
The elevator stops on the third floor.
It's kind of exciting.
Today's first meeting is with Lieutenant Governor Meade Treadwell. Sitka's hired lobbyist in Juneau, Larry Markley, leads the way.
Well, that's, of course, the governor's office is here. Lieutenant Governor is down this way. So
about 100 local officials from across the state are doing the exact same thing on this rainy Thursday at the end of the Alaska Municipal League's winter conference. During the meetings, each tries to convince a lawmaker why their own community's needs should take priority. Stephanie Scott is the mayor of Haines.
Yesterday I had the opportunity to talk to Lieutenant Governor Meade Treadwell, and I said to him, "Lieutenant Governor, I live on the only toll road in Alaska, and it's called the Inside Passage, and we need a vessel to drive on that road."
Her priority on this trip is the Alaska-class ferry. Plans for a 350-foot vessel were unexpectedly changed by Governor Sean Parnell, who opted instead for two smaller vessels.
The representatives and senators need to know that they're not operating in a vacuum, that they're constituencies are out there thinking and learning and questioning and suggesting, so that it really is a process, a democratic process.
Sitka's priority on this trip is to get funding for the Blue Lake Dam. The city is raising the height of the dam by 83 feet. Bids for construction came in way above engineers' estimates, nearly double the cost, in fact. And that has left the city scrambling for money.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Hackett from Sitka.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a meeting down here.
Yeah. We're outside the office of State Representative Kathy Munoz, a Juneau Republican.
Well, Kathy Munoz is the only representative from Southeast on the Finance Committee. So it's really good to hear one of her staffers say that she wants to meet with everybody from Southeast.
Hackett is a few minutes early. As we wait for the rest of Sitka's delegation to show up, I ask her how the day has gone so far.
A little intimidating to begin with, but we're getting there.
This is Hackett's first time lobbying on behalf of the city.
You hear all these things about how you're supposed to talk to people and what you're supposed to say and what you're not supposed to say, and yeah, I'm pretty homegrown for that.
Hackett says the meetings have gone well and that legislators have been receptive to at least hearing about Blue Lake.
It doesn't mean that we're going to be getting assistance this year, because times are tough at the state. But at least there hasn't been anybody closing the door in our face or yawning while we're talking. So
far, the state has kicked in nearly $50 million for Blue Lake, about half of the initial cost of the project. Half of the city's current request would be about $20 million.
And the chance of getting $20 million in this year's capital budget is near zero.
Bert Stedman represents Sitka in the state Senate. He's sitting in a rocking chair at the end of a conference table in his office, and he says there are a few factors working against Blue Lake. The capital budget, which funds one-time projects, is going to be much smaller this year. Legislators also aren't very likely to advocate for a big-ticket project that could take money out of their own districts. But even within a district, the competition for money is fierce. Stedman taps on a nearby notebook with all of the capital budget requests for his Senate district.
So what, a 2.5-inch binder or something like that? There's got to be a good 2 inches of paper, and that's not a backup. Each couple sheets is a separate project. And I haven't totaled them up, but there's...
He reaches forward and counts the names on the title page.
23 communities in our Senate district. We're one of 20 Senate districts.
Still, Stedman says it is not a pointless trip for the Sitkins or for other local officials who hope to help their communities. Even if Blue Lake doesn't get much money this year, energy is a huge concern across the entire state. And Stedman says it's good for legislators to know the whole picture. And if he were in the shoes of Hackett and McConnell and the others from Sitka?
I'd spend my time on the third floor with the governor's office. And I'd spend some time with AEA, Alaska Energy Authority.
Anyway, he says Blue Lake is a short-term obstacle in the way of Sitka's long-term solution, a hydro project at Tkats Lake. But still, what about those long odds? Why spend time meeting with legislators about something that seems unlikely to happen?
Never make assumptions.
Sitka Mayor Mim McConnell.
That's basically, don't make assumptions. Don't assume. Always hope. So we went in there with the hope that maybe somehow we'll be able to get some funding.
McConnell says they told legislators that if nothing happens and the city has to bond for the entire project, electrical rates could rise by as much as 60%. They told legislators that two new businesses in Sitka have to make their products using propane because there's just not enough electricity. And they said that a third, a proposed fish waste processing plant, called off plans to build in Sitka because it wouldn't have had enough electricity.
You know, obviously nobody made any promises, but we got a lot of sympathy. And it was sincere sympathy.
And some legislators told them that if they felt stonewalled by anyone, to give them a call for help.
it wasn't just an empty comment. There was actually something behind it, I think.
Behind, I mean, because they're obviously they're warm and they're smiling and they're nodding, yeah. But there's
no,
some substance.
No, it was
there.
Sincere. I really do think that they wanted to try and help if they could.
The legislative session is about a third of the way through, which means it's too early for anyone to know exactly whether the budgets will contain even a portion of the $43 million the city of Sitka has requested. McConnell says she's willing to make another visit if it will help, but that for now, it's time to watch and wait. Reporting from Juneau, I'm Ed Ronco.
What's the trick to helping figure out winter weather on the U.S. mainland? One way is sending a Hurricane Hunter aircraft from Alaska or Hawaii to fly reconnaissance over the Pacific Ocean. For about 15 years, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has conducted such flights with the goal of improving weather forecasts across the country. The idea was born after winter flights over the North Atlantic improved storm forecasting in Europe. The high-altitude aircraft, known as Gonzo, is typically used to study hurricanes in the Pacific. On flights during the winter, the data gathered is used in real time by meteorologists to improve and extend forecasts involving potentially dangerous winter storms. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And now here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today, areas of fog in the morning with rain showers likely becoming scattered in the afternoon. Highs around 42, southeast wind 10 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered rain showers in the evening and then rain late. Lows around 37 with southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour late. Wednesday, rain with highs around 41, south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. And Thursday, expect rain, highs around 40, southwest wind 10 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.